Let us pray.
O Lord God, mighty creator and preserver of all things, we thank you for blessing us so bountifully during the past year with your grace. You have preserved your word to us, kept us from harm and danger, provided for our bodily needs, and protected our state, our schools, our congregations, our synod, and the people dear to us. We do not deserve these blessings from you, and we praise you for your goodness toward us. Bless us with your mercy in the coming year, so that your word and sacraments may continue among us, that you keep us, our government, and the world in peace, and that you provide us with all that we need for our bodies and our souls. Help us to grow in our trust of your gracious care as you deliver us from evil. Give us courage to live as your children and faith to endure every trial. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the second chapter of Luke, beginning at the first verse, and reads as follows, in Jesus' name. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear worshipers of the Christ child, Christmas is over, at least for most of the world. The Christmas decorations have been put away. Company has gone home. Christmas presents have found a home in wherever stored, and the world is getting ready to celebrate New Year's. But for the church, Christmas is not over. Today is the sixth day of the Christmas season. The Christmas decorations still remain. Today, we continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus and ponder what that special present means to us, as it did to Jesus. Let us, along with the shepherds, then look at our text as we consider what God has made known to us. And it is important for us to consider this because we need to come and see in the manger and ponder anew what God can do and glorify God to all people. Had the angels appeared over Jerusalem to announce the birth of Christ, we might have gotten some reactions like this. "Well, isn't that something?" Or, "Boy, that was wonderful music the angels sang." But the more common reaction might have been, "What's the big deal about a newborn babe lying in a manger in a stable?" And yet, that is the big question. The shepherds believed the angels' message. They did not doubt or react as the people of Jerusalem might have. They knew what the angels said and believed. "Let us now go to Bethlehem," they said, "and see this thing which the Lord has made known to us." They trusted what the angels said was true. They understood that this message came from God himself, and it was about the most wonderful message and news of the world. And so they believed that they would see something in Bethlehem. Now, St. Luke doesn't tell us how far the shepherds were away from Bethlehem, how far they had to come into the town, how long it took them to look through the different mangers and find the one who was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. But they persisted until they did find him. And as the angel said, they found Joseph and Mary and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The scene there was ordinary to human eyes. But to the eyes of faith, their eyes, they saw something else. Joseph and Mary were the descendants of David, and that is why they were in Bethlehem, to be registered
because they were of the house and lineage of David, King David. Micah had foretold this, and here was the fulfillment. The manger and the hell and the hay held a tiny baby, just as the reed basket held baby Moses many years ago. And though the baby looked no different from any other baby in the world, the shepherds believed what the angels had told them. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It is good to ponder anew what this means and why this message is so important and who we are celebrating today. Now, St. Luke says that the shepherds returned to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Mary had a different response, as we hear. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, both responses are proper and God-fearing. But each have a different purpose. The shepherds wanted to tell the good news to as many people as they could. But Mary needed to understand how this blessed event of Christ's birth, what it meant to him, and also what it meant to her. Mary did not ignore the words of the shepherds, but kept them in her heart, guarded them, and wondered what is being said when the angel sang of good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Did this refer to Abraham's promise that the Messiah would be a blessing to all nations? And how would her son be able to bless all people? And when the angel said to her, "There is born to you," said to the shepherds, "There is born to you this day a Savior, Christ the Lord." How was her son able to save us and be a Savior? As a warrior? As a king? As a prophet? And the angel had told Joseph, and she had understood these words as well. You shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So what did it mean to save people from sins? What did Jesus have to do to bring about this salvation? Why did he have to deal with our sins? How can this baby born in a stable also be Christ the Lord? That is, the Messiah and the Lord God. And how does all this connect with what the angel told Mary? He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. If we have considered these prophecies and messages, we know the answers to these questions. It took Mary many years to fully understand the full extent of why Jesus came into the world and what he had to do, especially as she stood under the cross and see Jesus die. Today, you and I should also ponder these marvelous things and keep these prophecies in our hearts, that they are important. They are God's words. They are about Jesus, our Savior. And as we answer the questions, who is born? Why did he come? What did he accomplish? Then we can appreciate God's Christmas gift to us, because the baby born in Bethlehem was called Christ the Lord. It means that the one lying in the manger is the Messiah, the promised one, and also the Lord God who created all the universe. Now, many people in the history of the Christian church have wrestled with the idea of a tiny baby also being the Lord God of the universe. Their solution was to make Jesus lesser than God, or a man who became God. But both solutions are wrong because they deny what Scripture says about Jesus. Christ's birth is a mystery that we are to believe. The Bible says God was manifested in the flesh, and in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And because Jesus is God, he is holy and without sin. Therefore, Jesus kept God's law perfectly, even as an infant, for us. And that was part of his work to save us from sin. Jesus as God also means that he could die for our sins, have all of the sins of the world laid on him and still yet be holy and perfect, so that his death would be the payment for sin. Consider the words, born for you. Jesus was born for everyone, as the prophet Isaiah said, I, the Lord, will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people and as a light to the Gentiles. And so we can conclude that Jesus was born for you and for me. God sent him to be our Savior from sin and death. The iniquity of all the people was laid upon him as he was nailed to the cross. And the Bible says Jesus was the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. We celebrate Christmas because God's Son was given to us as our Savior to suffer and die in our place, to give us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Consider what it means that God is eternal. It means God can't be born. Consider what it means that God is holy. It means God can't sin. Consider what it means that God is life. God can't die. However, because Jesus is born the God-man, he is one person with two natures, divine and human. Since his incarnation by the Holy Spirit, both of Jesus' natures participate in all the things that Jesus did as our Savior. So in that he lived in this world and lived among sinners, and yet as God he was holy, and everything he did was in perfect alignment with God's law. In that he lived, he also able to die. And yet his death was perfect death, innocent death. And his blood is the holy, precious ransom price for our sins. So we can truly believe that Jesus is God, that he is the one who can be our Savior, whom God has promised as the Messiah. And we are to continue to ponder these things, how Jesus could be so glorious in heaven and yet be brought to poverty, willingly come to this earth in order to make us rich in salvation and eternal life. It is vital that we know who Jesus is. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am the Messiah, you are still in your sins. Jesus was born to earn God's forgiveness for us. He did not want us to die. And therefore, it is important for us on this Christmas day and season to glorify God for all of his gifts and what he has done to save us. Have you heard of a young child who quietly opens his gifts in a corner? Or when he has opened the gifts, just kind of puts them away and doesn't tell anybody else? There might be a child like that, but most of the time, a child will bounce around the room and show everybody his gift and let everybody know, especially if he got something that he wanted. The shepherds were like that. They didn't know what they wanted, but they got the message, didn't they? They went and saw the gift that God had given them. And so they wanted everybody in town to know about what they had seen and heard. St. Luke tells us, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which they had told him concerning this child. Notice that the shepherds didn't go around describing what the angels looked like or the song that they sang. They went around telling about the Messiah that was given. That was the important point, that the Messiah was born, that he had come into the world, and they were to tell them everything. Now, one could guess that God might have should have waited until the internet was around. You know, there could have been emails and video clips of this birth in Bethlehem and Facebook messages all over the place. And everybody would have known about Jesus' birth. However, Perhaps such a message would not really get to many people. People might call it fake news, since it tells of a baby born of a virgin, born in a stable, and born as a savior of the world. But dear friends, the shepherds did not call it fake news. They wanted everybody to know that the Messiah was born. This is the news that's too important to keep silent. The angel saying, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." The shepherds also had to tell this story to as many as they confronted to let people know of God's good gift. Shall then we be like the shepherds to tell others about Jesus? Shall we have devotions in our homes when our guests are present so that they hear the message? Shall we talk to and go and visit shut-ins and talk to children and people who aren't hearing the message so that they can be also happy and glorify God? We should not be afraid to say Merry Christmas and talk about Christ's birth. And as we celebrate Christ's birth, we have good reasons to glorify God for the salvation that he has given to us and to others. When the shepherds returned to the flock, St. Luke writes, "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." You see, even when there was nobody else to tell, they went back and talked among themselves and glorified God for all these wonderful gifts and blessings that had been given to them. It was too good news to just keep silent about it. They had to talk about it. They praised God for sending the angels. They praised God for sending his son. In the same way, and our worship and our pondering should continue throughout the 12 days of Christmas until January 6th to glorify God, to thank him for his grace, to trust in the promise that this son is our savior and that through faith in him we have eternal life, to praise God for adopting us into his family and making us his children and heirs of eternal life. For we cannot praise and worship and thank God enough for his Christmas gift of a Savior. May the Lord bless us and keep us as we continue to praise and worship God for all that he has done for us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.